Hello everyone and welcome to Employability Radio. My name is Maurice Newman. The Employability Service works under contract to the Department of Social Protection. Employability is an employment and recruitment service that's there to help people with disability to secure and maintain jobs in the open labour market. In order to do this work, Employability needs to work in partnership with a wide range of government welfare agencies, voluntary service providers, charities, and employers across the whole of Ireland. In this short series of programmes, we meet representatives of some of those agencies and discuss the issues facing people with disabilities in today's labour market. I'm going to be talking to two very important people. Sheila Comiskey, the coordinator of the Meath branch office. Hello, Meath.
Hello, everyone. Pleased to meet you all.
Okay, thanks for coming in. And Yvonne Brown, who's the coordinator of the Ballymun office.
Hi, Maurice. Thanks very much for the invitation today.
Ah, not at all. I'm glad you both turned up. It's great you're here on time and what could be better? Right, well, I'll begin with Yvonne, if you don't mind. Yvonne, could you tell me a little bit about Employability? I'd like to know, when was it established and why was it established?
So the Employability Service was set up in around the year 2000 and it was set up to help people with disabilities to find employment in the open labour market.
And when you say help them, how does it help them?
So we have a team of job coaches around the country that would work with clients or individuals on a one-to-one basis to assist them to look for employment and get back into the workplace.
Okay. Sheila, can you tell me a little bit about what a job coach actually does?
Well, a job coach is a unique feature of the Employability Service. Their core responsibility is for to ensure the delivery of all the employment aspects of the client. So that's really doing everything that's necessary to help the client get into the workplace. That could be helping with CV, helping with interview preparation, doing some career direction, liaising with employers, with family members, helping to create an independence around travel, and then to work towards being in the workplace and working in the workplace independently.
Okay, and is that a one-to-one service? So is it one job coach, one person, or would one job coach have many, many clients?
Well, at the moment, it would be one job coach to 25 clients, but we are a person-centred service, so it would be one job coach would be work with their own caseload, so that the one job coach would be working with that client during their time from they come in through the door until they leave, unless, you know, there's some sort of emergency or something like that. But it really helps the client and the job coach to develop a professional relationship if they're, you know, if they have continuity of service and continuity of person.
And when you say disabled people, are we talking about the full spectrum of disabilities here?
We are indeed. Employability services available to anyone who has an illness, injury or disability, regardless of their social welfare payment. Even if they're not on a social welfare payment, it's their support needs that have to meet the criteria to be referred to our service.
Could I just ask you, Yvonne, perhaps to come in there. What sort of routes are there into the employability? How does somebody become a client of the organisation?
Well, if people are interested in becoming linking in with the Employability Service, they can go to their local intro offices or their local employment centre and they would fill in a referral form which would be sent on. But also they can also just Google Employability Service and give their local office a phone call and they'll help, you know, assist them in finding a referral.
Okay. Just with the keeping it current, if you like, obviously, for the past year and a half, there's been not been much recruitment around, I would have thought. Things would be difficult. What I'm hearing on the news all the time now is that there's a massive shortage of labour because so many guest workers or immigrant workers have gone home, leaving somewhat of a gap in the market. And are you hoping that this gap in the market will create opportunities for your clients?
Well, yes, we do envisage that we'll be busier as things return to normal. People have spent a lot of time at home and indoors and we expect to see a lot of people wanting to get back into the workplace. And work for a lot of people is more than just payment. It's about interaction and occupation.
I agree.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
very important for, you know, anybody, regardless of whether they've got a disability or not, that social interaction and just people interaction is important. So we would hope that as businesses start to reopen, that they would consider the sense of community and togetherness that we've had and support that Employability have had over the years, and also apply that understanding to the needs of our client base and, you know, support them into the vacancies that they have available at the moment. And of course, that support from the job coach will be there for the employers too.
Yeah, I actually get that. I think it's very true that you... what you do for a living is a great deal of what your personality is about. When somebody says, what do you do? It's a big part of your life. You know, everybody has, if you like, a character that's tied up in what they do. And if you take that away, if somebody becomes unemployed, it can affect some people very, very deeply. Yeah. And I imagine that if you have a disability to deal with, that you might need a little bit of a confidence boost to help you get past that perhaps lack that you've had in your life for some time. And would you guys address that, do you think? Perhaps Yvonne, you could.
I think that's certainly where the job coaches come in, and that one-to-one support that Sheila mentioned earlier, and that relationship between the job seeker and the job coach is so important, because the job coach is there to help boost their confidence and help them when there are knockbacks, maybe from employers saying no, that they have somebody there, a support person there that can help them to get back on the bike again and keep going and to apply for more positions, and just to, as I said, to help them with that anxiety and to help boost their confidence in knowing that they can do work. And there's people out there as well willing to give people opportunities.
Yeah, well, I think it's very true. The hardest part of a job search, whether you're disabled or able-bodied, if you like, is that keeping going. It's a slog, and every interview you do is basically a practice for the next interview. And even no matter how confident you are, if you fail an interview, you're going to feel rejected. It's like being chucked by a girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. And it can be painful and difficult to come back from. So if you've got someone there who's saying, look, we all go through it, that's the way it rocks, you know, you just... It's a good idea to have the service. But why did somebody go, hang on, we need this as part of the a government provision? What was the motivation for that? Was there a service already in place?
Possibly before my time, the National Rehabilitation Board had a similar service, but as it was before my time, but that's probably where the idea came from, the support employment. And there is support employment programmes in other countries that have worked very well. So that's probably where the pilot came from. And then, as we said, it was a pilot, and then, but it has been around now for 20 years, very successfully supporting people into employment.
There was also a policy change that the responsibility for employment and for people with disabilities was changed from one department to the Department of Employment, Trade and Trade and Industry, I think it was, and that would have been under FOSS, and that's where the pilot project was set up from there, because it was a change of policy within the departments, actually. I think from the Department of Health to the Department of Trade and Employment. They change their names so often, it's hard to keep up with them.
Quite right, yeah. And so they should. I mean, it's just, what else would they be doing, really? So another sort of element to the service when you're dealing with people who have disabilities, and I believe you're talking about mental issues as well, or mental health issues as well as physical disabilities. It's not just one kind. And I'm wondering if there's an increasing awareness amongst the general population and employers and employees alike of a need for inclusion and diversity in the workforce, and understanding that people are not defined by the disability they have, but are actually just ordinary people seeking to earn a living.
Well, I think the success of employability service over the last 20 years is testament to that employers are becoming more open and including people who have extra need to be part of their work team and to be in their workforce. And I think there has been a lot of awareness campaigns. There's also disability awareness training. But I find our success anyway is personal aspect. People know people who have a disability, who have suffered from a mental health issue, who have maybe lost mobility, or who have maybe had a stroke, or, you know, all these different barriers and all these different challenges, that are out there for people. And I think people are more, and employers in particular, are more accepting that just because somebody has a challenge, it doesn't make them unemployable, and it also can make them a very good team player. It's just about finding the right support for them, finding the right niche in their workplace, and supporting them through it. And I think too, with the employability service, that employers don't feel that they're left alone, that they can come back to the job coach as well and, you know, ask for advice, ask for supports, help with training, on the job training, not external training, on the job training, and help them with any issues that they may have in the initial induction stages. The job coach is there to support both the client and the employer.
All right, well, got a very comprehensive answer there. Thanks very much. That's great. So we have people who are looking for work, and we have people who have aspirations. They have goals that they'd like to reach. It might be educational, it might be vocational, might need training, might need to go back to school. Would you deal with those issues? Perhaps, Yvonne, you could.
Well, the job coach would, through the first stage, which we call a needs assessment stage, would look at those things. So if there are gaps in somebody's training, the job coach would help advise to where maybe they should go back and do further training or to enhance their skills. Because as she said, like, we're all about making sure the job works for somebody. So there's no point putting somebody into a job unless they have the correct skills there, because we want it to work for the individual and we want it to work for the employer. So from that point of view, it's very important at the initial stages, if somebody does need to go off and do further training, it's done. And then the person can always come back to the employability service and link back in with a job coach again to look for work. But we would look at the training and education side as well. Ideally, a lot of people would come to us with their training and education behind them. So then when they get linked in with the job coach, it's about the job search. But we would certainly look at for the training. As mentioned, we're very much about the person and we're a person-centred service, so we will help with that.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to just give us a break now, just for a couple of minutes. I'm going to put on a piece of music, and I know you're going to like this one. Listen to this.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a walk in that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling in the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling. The voice was chanting as the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, the dust clouds rolling, voice coming chanting and the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me.
Right, well, that was Woody Guthrie with This Land Is Your Land, a very, very old left-wing staunch tub thumper of the best kind. Do you have a network of employers, people that seek you out looking for employees? Because I understand you operate the wage supplement system, goes through your offices as well. Is there some sort of financial benefit for employers, and do they use this to their advantage?
I think there's a perception that we have, like a database of employers that are going to take on people. But as you mentioned, we're very much about the person and being person-centred. So we do start a new career search for each individual that comes in. But along with that, we use the wage subsidy scheme to create an opportunity for people. So we would contact employers with information about the wage subsidy scheme and try to encourage them to take it on board. The wage subsidy scheme is a really good incentive for employers to get $5.30 an hour towards taking somebody on in excess of 21 hours. I think all employability offices have employers that will take people on an ongoing basis, but you know, at the end of the day, it's about the person. So if somebody comes to us, we're not going to just pigeonhole them into a job because there's a vacancy there. We're there to make sure that it's a job that they want to do and it's one that they're going to stick at as well.
OK, let's move on to a slightly changed world. Again, because of the recent sort of pandemic, work has changed everywhere. And I understand that up until a couple of years ago, you would meet all your clients on a face-to-face basis in the office or in an entry office or somewhere like this. Obviously, you've had to adjust a little bit in the modern era, if you like. So are you able to work virtually or remotely with clients via Zoom, Skype, these kind of things?
Yeah, well, like everybody else, we've had to adapt to the pandemic and the government guidelines and, I suppose, the threat of infection and COVID-19. We were out of the office and working remotely from home for a large part of it. But like everything else, you had to find new ways of working. So in came our laptops and Zoom and more telephone calls and, you know, just whatever way suits our client best. Not everybody was into doing the Zoom meetings. Not everybody even wanted to engage because they would have had the fear of catching COVID-19 and didn't want to continue with job searching. But those who did, we found the likes of the Zoom meetings and Microsoft Teams, those interactions very beneficial. And we'll probably keep that blended part of our communications in at the moment until everybody gets vaccinated. But also, we have very secure and safe office environment where we've all the, according to the government guidelines, we've all the screens and the sanitizers and the masks, and we have procedures in place to ensure that there's, you know, how many people enter the building, etc., etc. So I feel that our office space now is a very secure spot, and that as the country starts to open up again and everybody is educated, and particularly our job coaches are educated into how to stay safe whilst visiting out-of-office appointments, I feel that we can still operate very successfully, as we have been doing.
OK. And I'd like to just pick you up there where you say that these things have changed the way you work. I feel that they've also brought a new era in, because people are aware of how convenient it is to work via Zoom. So there's a changing perception, if you like, that people are thinking, well, we don't have to be in an office all the time. We can work from home, which may work very, very well for someone who has mobility issues. And the actual, just the social interaction via Zoom and Skype has in its way trained people for the new working environment. I think that's an exciting thing to look forward to in the future.
I still feel people prefer to meet face to face, and I think because we are a customer facing service, I think it is important that we do meet face to face, because it helps the job coach and the client build that rapport and that trust that's really needed if they're going to go out and represent them to employers, and also for the client who knows that they're being represented to employers, that the job coach has their best interest at heart when presenting them with opportunities of jobs. You know, it's really the bond of trust and the relationship, professional relationship of trust that's built up between the job coach and the client, you know, is really around another thing. It's around the success of the service.
Well, I agree that the personal is the most important thing. I'm just saying that in terms of just using new technology, the way we've had to use new technology from home, we'll have people prepared to use it within an office environment. But I agree about the personal attention, if you like. Yeah. Work isn't just about getting up in the morning, going out and earning money. I don't come in here to make friends. I come here to earn my living. It is a social part of your social life, and it's where you spend most of your adult life, waking anyway. You're 8 hours a day in work. you're not that much anywhere else. Yeah. You know, you're not watching telly for that long, one hopes, or you know, doing anything else. So it is very, yeah, very important.
But as you say, the development of the video calls has been key in helping build that relationship as well. It's better, much better than a telephone call or a cold email or a text message or something like that. It's really good.
I absolutely agree, yeah. So just coming towards a close now, do you think there's an air of optimism in the air with regard to increasing employment, getting the economy back online, that's palpable? I feel that it's like there's a bubble building that people think the economy's going to get back, we're going to be all working, there's going to be a great buzz. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, yeah, there is an air of optimism around the place and people are keen to get back out there and to get back into work. Yeah. And definitely, I think as things, we've certainly noticed that people are still getting placements, people are getting jobs, and which is great to see. So there's definitely opportunities there for people, and they will hopefully increase going forward. And as you said, like, I think employers now are a little bit more willing to maybe think outside the box a little bit more now as well when it comes to maybe recruitment and different ways of working as well, which I think is really important, because that's paramount to the success of the employability service, as well as having the support of employers. And for employers to, just as I said, think a little bit outside the box when it comes to recruitment, of how they can be a little bit more open and maybe do things a little bit different, maybe if somebody needs it. And that doesn't mean that somebody can't do the job, it just means they might need the interview process to be adapted slightly. But once they get into the job, they can be a really good employee. And a lot of the time as well, we'd find our individuals, our job seekers, will stay in jobs longer as well. They have less of a turnover as well. They're very loyal to the companies that give them opportunities. So I think that's really important.
I would have to agree with Yvonne 100% with everything she said there. That's our experience in County Meath as well.
Yeah, very good. Well, I feel much more confident about the future now. Perhaps I'll come along myself and see if you give me a job. Okay, Yvonne, can I just ask you then? I mean, we talk about disabilities and people having disabilities and who we think are disabled and who consider themselves disabled. And who would you consider disabled and thus able to avail of the employability service?
The employability service is there really to assist anybody who needs extra assistance in getting back to work. So the spectrum is really, really broad. So we would support people with dyslexia, people on the autism spectrum, people with Asperger's, people maybe who, I think Sheila mentioned earlier, who might have had a stroke, people who may have recovered from cancer. The list is quite long. And also as well, if people, maybe say with people with MS as well, that maybe they could have worked for years, they now have MS and they're finding it difficult maybe to return back into the workplace, we can support people like that. So I would encourage anybody to get in touch with their local employability office and have a chat and see if the service is for them, because really the service is there to support anybody who needs extra help to get them back into work. As you said earlier on, people with anxiety issues as well, you know, mental health issues. So it's very broad. It's not just, some people think of disability, the person, the wheelchair, the symbol that you see, you know, in a car parking space. It's not that. It can be hidden disabilities as well. So it's very broad.
So hidden disabilities, that's quite a wide spectrum, I would imagine. And you mentioned a few. I suppose everybody knows about autism now. It's almost fashionable. You see it on TV shows and people talk about it, and models and actors are all claiming to be autistic. Is that a reality? Is there that much around? And if someone is suffering from autism, what sort of supports could you offer? What do you think, Sheila?
Well, it's the general supports that the service has to offer, and that's like the employability service offers individualised supports for the individual. So the job coach would ascertain what type of support the person needed and where and when. And a lot of that information has to come from the person themselves, because they're the one who knows how environment would affect them, how noise affects them, smells affect them, the role that they prefer to do, something that they really don't like to do. You know, even within the autistic spectrum and within the disability spectrums, there's no two people alike. And it's all about getting to know your client.
Okay, well, look, that was really great talking to you both. Thanks for coming in. It's very interesting. I'm sure that's been helpful. And over the next few weeks, we'll be talking to more people working with and for the employability service, who will give us a bit more in-depth view of the thing. Well, that was really a good opener. So thanks very much, Sheila Connolly and Yvonne Brown.
Thank you.
It was great having you. Thanks very much. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Employability Radio. If you want to contact Employability Dublin North, call 01 844 2700 during office hours or see their Facebook page. For information on your local employability service providers, contact your local Intreo office for further information and referrals. The producer of Employability Radio was Morris Newman. Sound engineer was Paul Walsh. If you missed any of the episodes in this series or want to listen to any of them again, all are available to playback as podcasts on the Near FM website. Just visit nearfm.ie/podcast and search for Employability Radio.